Okay, let's get underway here. And I'm going to open with a verse of Scripture from the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, we read the Word of God, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Just that one verse. Acts 4, verse 12. All right, now, let's get on with the message. The title of my message today is one that may shock a lot of you, but nonetheless, it's something we have to talk about and deal with. The name of the message is, "Don't Tell Me My Mama's Gone to Hell." Or, Catholicism, a cult, or what? Ooh, catchy title, huh? Stand by. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to deliver this message. I just pray, Lord, that hearts will be open and receptive, ears will be unstopped, and that by the time this message is finally delivered, Lord, those who hear it will understand and make that all-important decision for Jesus Christ. And if they already belong to Christ, Lord, that they'll have a little bit more knowledge, Lord, about what they're up against. For there's a mighty enemy out there and a mighty battle to be fought. But with Thee, Lord God, all things are possible. So please, Lord, give me utterance now as I go forward with this message. For I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, don't tell me my mama's gone to hell. All right, I won't. Or Catholicism, a cult, or what? No, I'm not going to tell you your mama's gone to hell. But if she wasn't saved, the same goes for your brother and your uncle and your sister and all your cousins and aunts. About the only members of your family I can guarantee will not go to hell are your tomcat and your budgie bird. Before I'm finished saying what the Word of God has to say about this horrendous but elusive subject, before I'm finished, you may wish you were a tomcat or a budgie bird. You see, hell is the opposite of what? Heaven, right? You either go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you're a Catholic or some other cult, whoa, hold on there. You say to me, Catholicism ain't no cult. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. You just should not have said that. However shall I respond to that? Well, since you started it, I guess the word of our all-sufficient God will have to answer it. You see, I've been a member of the Catholic Church since my mommy took me from her womb and had some priest shake a sprinkler over my head. Well, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I made my first communion in the Catholic Church. I kissed my first set of rosary beads in a Catholic church. I kneeled before my first statue in a Catholic church. I lit candles for the dead in a Catholic church. I prayed to Mary in a Catholic church. I ate the real body of Jesus Christ and drank His real precious blood in the Catholic church. I confessed my sins to a priest in a Catholic church. I believed that Jesus Christ was not the only way to heaven in a Catholic church. I believed in a place they call purgatory, and that if we were too bad to go directly to heaven, even if we were dead, we could spend a time in purgatory until the prayers of the Catholic Church cleansed us enough to enter into heaven. I believed that we were allowed to steal, but only in moderation, in the Catholic Church. I learned that we were also allowed to lie and to cheat, but only in moderation, in the Catholic Church. We were also allowed to drink hard liquor and smoke, and I believe it was okay for a priest to abuse a helpless altar boy in the Catholic Church. Why did I believe all these things? Because the Catholic Church told me so. And finally, I was told I was not to read the Holy Bible, the Word of God, by the Catholic Church. To all of you who are still in the Catholic Church, who crucify my blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, every day and receive communion, and who believe that you don't need Jesus Christ to gain entry into heaven because you believe that Mary is co-redemptress with God's only begotten Son, I urge you with all my heart, run, run from there. Run while there's still time. Run to Jesus. There's no salvation through the Catholic Church. It's not Jesus and the Pope. It's not Jesus and Mary. It's not Jesus and the sacraments. It's not Jesus and your confessional. It's not Jesus and your idols. It's not Jesus and your baptism. It's Jesus the Christ and Him plus nothing. Nothing. If you add anything to it, you lose everything you could have had. But more importantly, you lose heaven. Like I said, in the book of Acts, the Word of God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, is God a liar? No. Let God be true, and every man a liar. God be true. God is true. There's no salvation in Mary. There's no salvation in the saints. There's no salvation in baptism. There's no salvation in church ordinances. There's no salvation in purgatory. There's no salvation in Catholicism. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Salvation is far from the wicked. Not everybody in the world will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet, they are without excuse. For God made the heavens and the earth, and He left us with a conscience to seek Him out. To seek Him out. Seek and ye shall find, He said. Knock and the door will be opened. You know, before I got saved, I was just an easygoing kind of guy with a lot of dreams that never came true. In the summer, I would go outside in my backyard, and I'd lie on my back on the picnic table, looking up into that black night sky. And I'd wonder, what's really up there? Is that where heaven's at? Or is heaven just a state of mind? But the point is, I never stopped looking at that sky, day or night. I never stopped wondering, is God real? Is He? I was searching. I was always searching. Then I started talking to my invisible God as though He were one of my friends. This went on for years, and my life continued to deteriorate. But I was still searching. That seed, that conscience that's inside every person was drawing me like a giant magnet. Someone once told me, God loves you, Tommy. And my response was, yeah, that's why my life's a mess. I was living so much sin, I just wanted to end it all, to get it over with. I used to go for early morning walks along the riverbank and talk and cry and beg the man upstairs to kill me. And when he refused, I tried to kill myself. You see, folks, my point is, you got to come to the end of self if you want to make room for Jesus. Once you realize there is a greater power than Superman, then and only then are you ready for the Lord God to draw you to His Son. And that's the only way you can get to know the Father. Jesus said in John verse 6:44, now listen carefully, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The key word is draw. The key word is draw. All the Old Testament saints, they never heard of Jesus and that all must come to Him for salvation. But they knew God and it was imputed unto them for righteousness. They couldn't go to heaven without Jesus. Where did they go then? They went to a place called paradise and Abraham's bosom until after the resurrection, at which time Christ rose from the dead and went into paradise and took them all the saints, out of captivity and home to heaven with Him. Since the beginning of time, the importance of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, drawn sinners to the Son for the redemption and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Wow! Like I said, seek and ye shall find. But reject Him and the lake of fire will be your home. You know, there's a lot of mamas and papas hanging around these days who have sons and daughters who are time and again rejecting Jesus Christ. Are these parents worried? Not really. Why not? Because they believe in the left behind theory that once they see their parents gone in the rapture, then they'll believe and get saved. Oh my! Oh, what a lie! This is contrary to Bible doctrine. The Bible says that God will send a strong delusion. Now, I prepared a sermon on that very issue, which you can hear on my website, tillhecomes.net. A strong delusion that the world will believe a lie. Now, what lie is that, you will ask? What lie is that? Well, there's not much on it in Scripture, but if I were you, young people, and old skeptics, I would give it some serious thought. One theory is that these Christ rejectors will still be able to get saved in the tribulation period. Of course, that would have to mean that their hearts were never hardened before the rapture. You see, once the heart is hardened, you're bound to believe a lie. And when you believe a lie like the Pharaoh did in the Old Testament time, then you will not believe in Christ. You will go directly to hell. The way I see it, this is exactly what will happen. Your heart is already hardened and you will believe that lie. And you will take the mark of the beast, the 666. Now, the age of grace will be over and the tribulation is a time when the 144,000 tribal saints will preach the gospel of the kingdom. And God will revive His covenant with the Jewish remnant. So that's all I wish to say concerning that matter. Except to add, if I were you, I'd give my life to Christ now. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, we're just a crazy people with a lot of excuses, aren't we? Yep. We have an excuse for everything, and then some. Listen. Will you listen? You can get away with making an excuse as to why you didn't go to work yesterday, or why you didn't show up for the family picnic. But making an excuse for rejecting Christ? I wouldn't go there. Anyhow, don't say you were never warned. This is why God laid this message on my heart. Demographics indicate there are well over 6 billion people on the earth today. Close to 7 billion, actually. Only about 1.6 billion are some variety of a Christian or other religion. But what about the remaining 5 billion? Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, secularists, atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, and those who are simply nothing at all. It's estimated that roughly 2 billion are out of simple reach of the gospel message for various reasons. There's something to think about. 2 billion and thousands of them are dying daily and going to hell. Oh my, what a terrible thought. Now, we're not talking about kids below the age of accountability or the mentally handicapped. God's grace is sufficient there. This is where the conscience issue kicks in. Whereas God can be seen in His creation, and we're back to seek and find. For the answer, we must turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. In the book of Romans, let's have a look and see what it says. Book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. 18 to 20. Oh my, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh my! There it is, folks. There it is. They are without excuse. God is evident in His creation, so you'll have no excuse. Powerful, powerful verses. Look at them again and again. Show them to your Christ-rejecting families and friends. You can't do any more than that. You see, the existence of God is an ongoing thing. It's not just an eclipse of the sun or a rainbow after the rain. It's also the devastating earthquake that tells you God is dealing with you, or the tsunami that breaks down your idols, or the volcanoes that fill your nostrils with the taste of God's anger. The signs of God are everywhere and always have been. The evidence of His presence is overwhelming. Yes, indeed. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, wickedness has become second nature to mankind. It's a nature that is part of who you are. But when you become a new creature in Christ, that old nature is fully realized, and you are strengthened by the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new, just the way God wants you to be. People, ye are without excuse. The presence of God is everywhere. In the morning when you rise up, throughout the day you put yourself through, and in the night when you lay your head down. Remember this, no one can curse God unless they believe in Him. I say again, no one can curse God unless they believe in Him. In the book of Job, Job lost everything. Personal belongings, lands, livestock, even his children. What did his unsaved wife say to him? Curse God and die. Wow. Did Job hold fast to his beliefs? Oh, yes. Through it all, Job kept his faith. Even, my friends, when all was against him. His most adamant proclamation was stirring indeed when he said in 1926, Job 1926, And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Wow! Is that your feeling today? Is that your proclamation like Job? Do you have the faith of Job? God doesn't ask you to show the faith of Job. But He does ask is that you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And you can do great and wonderful things. You know, a wise man wrote, "The heathen who has never heard the gospel or the name of Jesus is as responsible as anyone else." Not for failing to accept a message he has never heard, but for rejecting the knowledge of God as revealed in His creation. Now remember this. People don't go to hell because they never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Simply stated, people go to hell because they are sinners. When Adam and Eve first sinned, then everyone to follow would inherit that sin nature. For this cause, God had two choices. He could start over and recreate everything anew, including man, or He could provide Himself a lamb for the slaughter. This is so divinely outlined. When Abraham took his son, Isaac, up into the hills, as instructed by God, to be sacrificed on an altar. If God had not intervened, Abraham would have slain his son Isaac. Oh my. This, my friends, was a type of Christ. If you look at Genesis 22, verse 8, you will read, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Himself, of course, being Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful. How powerful. My question to you is, if God would give His only begotten Son to shed His precious blood for the sins of the whole world, couldn't we at least acknowledge this? Bow now or beg later. Bow now or beg later. This may be a somewhat crude example. My apologies to the Lord Jesus. Imagine for a moment you slipped and fell into a mud puddle. First thing you'd want to do is take a bath. And clean that old mud off, wouldn't you? Now imagine for a moment you slipped and fell into sin. The best thing for this is a blood bath. A blood bath. My whole point should be obvious. It's a simple thing to take a shower to clean the outside of your body. And yes, it's also a simple thing to come to Jesus and clean the inside of your soul. Think about it. Remember, at the beginning, remember I was telling you, we are without excuse because the Lord reveals His presence in so many, many ways. And remember how you don't always have a preacher to relate God's written word? Why do you think we have so many missionaries going out into the world with the gospel? Because there's somebody, maybe more, in that remote village or community that's got a searching heart, rather. People who believe by faith that there really is a God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's no shortcut to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't inherit it from your wealthy relatives. And you can't steal it. But you can claim it. How? By believing in Jesus Christ, that He suffered and died for your sins and rose again on the third day. It's that easy. It's that simple. When you stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and you will, if you're not saved, it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. When you stand there before the great high bench, weak-kneed, crying and begging for mercy, it'll be too late. The mercy gate will be closed. And you will have no excuse. Guilty as charged. The sentence, eternity in the lake of fire. When we, the saved, as witnesses in the great high court, hear a screaming relative or friend or even someone we don't know, and they are standing before Christ for sentencing, the last thing you want to hear is that they should point to you and proclaim, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" Don't you see? The day we got saved was not the day we sat back and waited for the Lord's return. No, we are designated witnesses for Christ. It's our immediate task to bear witness to the Lamb of God, to tell others, even if it means one rejection after another. Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Once we are saved and we know the gospel, we are without excuse. Every one of us is a missionary in a way. What point is there to go into China when your next door neighbor is perishing? To your left, to your right, to your front, all about you are those who will point the finger at you on that day and say, "Why? Why didn't you tell me?" He who is a fool for Christ is no fool at all. Did you get that? Did you get that? In conclusion, in closing, I would ask that you consider this. If there was any other way of salvation, if there was any other way of getting to heaven, rest assured, God would not have sacrificed His only begotten Son. Would you? Lord God, thank You, Lord, for giving me these words to say. Thank You, Lord, that somebody out there may hear these words and realize their need to come to Jesus now. Not wait till tomorrow, for tomorrow is promised to no one. Tomorrow may be too late. For You could come at any time, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, please. Please convict their hearts, Lord, that they should come to Your Son now. Now is the appointed time of salvation. For I ask and pray in the name of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.